This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Spine and Orthopedic Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Matt Kramer, an Orthopedic Service Line Administrator of Northern Arizona Healthcare. Matt, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know our conversation will focus on a lot of the different trends that you're seeing in healthcare as they relate to orthopedics, ambulatory surgery centers. I know you work with orthopedic trauma as well and some other aspects of recovery and physical therapy. But before we dive into that, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background.
Sure. So I was a physical therapist by trade. I received my doctorate from AT Steele University a long time ago, and I practiced in a private practice outpatient orthopedic setting, primarily for the first few years of my career before moving into leadership positions. I spent about a total of 10 years, a little over 10 years actually, in that private practice setting before moving into a healthcare organization down in Phoenix, Banner Health, and then kind of expanded my scope of services to include acute, subacute, and then ambulatory service offerings, including physician practices. That was a great experience. I got to learn a lot, expand some of my service offerings, as well as my own skill sets, including Lean Six Sigma methodology, and then eventually left Banner to join Northern Arizona Healthcare up in Flagstaff in the Verde Valley market. And that's led me to continue to further expand my career into different settings and everything that is orthopedics at this point.
Got it. Well, that's fascinating to see how you worked your way up from kind of doing the independent physical therapy practice and then going into, more of an administrative role. What has been, the most surprising part, I guess, of that leap from having your own practice to jumping into more administrative side of things in healthcare? Is there anything that, you were expecting one thing going into the administrative roles and ended up being another way?
I was really pleased with the amount of structure and kind of more formal leadership training that I was able to receive as part of joining a large healthcare organization, such as Banner, and then have had that continue on in my experience at Northern Arizona Healthcare, to be surrounded by some very experienced and talented individuals that were willing to share their expertise in different fields and really work in a very collaborative nature. You don't necessarily always have access to the full service offerings when you are in a private practice in a more of a siloed type of setting. I will say that one of the drawbacks, and I'm sure most people can relate to this, is some of the agility that you give up moving from a private practice setting or a smaller organization and joining a larger organization. That's just kind of the nature of the beast, is that certain decisions or strategies and initiatives take longer to execute on, just given the fact that there's so many more moving parts.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. All right. So given where we're at today, obviously the past year, with COVID-19 and the pandemic, really being a huge part of everybody's, daily considerations, what are the top three trends in healthcare that you're following today?
That's a great point. I mean, COVID has really opened our eyes to a lot of different opportunities in healthcare delivery, and I think that directly bleeds into virtual healthcare delivery, not just telemedicine, but, with all of our populations and demographics now having access to a multitude of technologies, including Zoom meetings and Teams meetings, and in some real-time interaction with providers that also provides visual display, not just verbal. That has been something that we've embraced and utilized and try to leverage and continue to manage, especially chronic disease through a pandemic where, people are trying to isolate as much as possible. And so typically when they're isolating, conditions only get worse. They're not receiving the care they need. They're not getting therapy. They're not addressing more conservative measures of health management. As a result, those conditions can progress and get worse. And so really leveraging virtual health has been a big focus of ours throughout this past year. I think it'll continue to be everybody's focus moving forward. I would say some of the other trends that we're acutely aware of is outcomes analytics and how we use data to manage our business, our evidence-based practices, our operations, from start to finish, efficiencies in the emergency room, through the OR, length of stay, and then what that leads to from a post-acute perspective, therapy services with return to function, and other measures of treatment that might be needed down the road. And so using that data and leveraging that data, and not just within our own entity, but sharing that amongst different organizations, having that be a part of the provider's daily information download. So those individuals doing the work, whether they're the MAs that are greeting the patients entering into the clinic, they're the physicians, they're the orthopedic specialist in the ORs, everybody needs to have access to that data and understand what it means and how it impacts our patient care delivery. I would say probably the last one would be the patient experience. You know, our patients these days now are truly consumers, and they research services, they do cost comparison, and rightfully so. And so for us to meet the needs of the consumer, we need to treat them as such and strive to deliver the best in care, that we drive through our expertise and our delivery methods, but in a manner that the patient wants it delivered. And so I think that's a little bit of a shift that we're pretty focused on these days.
Absolutely. So when you look at the patient experience, what does that mean to you to deliver a better one? How do you see that really changing going forward? I think, it makes a ton of sense. And I'm just wondering, in orthopedics especially, how, you're able to develop some of the, or gather information, I guess, on what patients want and then execute that so that, your departments are keeping up with their demand.
Sure. We survey all of our patients coming through through the hospital, through the emergency room, and through our clinics. And so their feedback, is imperative to driving our operations and what we're striving to achieve in the next fiscal year. And so if we're not focused on the feedback, if we're not taking that seriously, I mean, we're absolutely going to miss the mark. And so we'll ask our patients, what is it that they want? What made their visit great? Or even worse, what made their visit not great? Or what could have made it better? And in what capacity? And we'll ask them questions as it relates to the experience, to access, communication, as well as staff and provider interactions, so that we can use that feedback then to drive change in our organization to, do a better job of meeting those needs of the patient.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. What additional challenges do you see on the horizon today?
I would say everybody's probably acutely aware of the continued increase in cost of how to operate and deliver care to their patients and the consumers in their markets, as well as the difficulty when it comes to reimbursement. And so trying to offer more to our patients and with additional cost and in return receiving less back is a constant struggle. And so how do we maintain our operating margins to be able to continue to deliver that high quality care and then reinvest into our organization? Because ultimately we're here, we exist to deliver that care to the patients. And, as technologies advance and access advances, we need to be able to keep up with that, that constant change. And that just takes further investment. So that's probably the area that is most palpable, I would say, in most healthcare organizations, is how do we continue to manage costs, drive out waste, and staff. Right now we've got 30% of our healthcare workforce that has left healthcare with the pandemic over the last year, and so increase in staffing is cost as far as travelers and contracted providers is a real cost. That's an increase that was not foreseen and not budgeted, and therefore is a challenge to manage.
Got it. That really makes a ton of sense. And thank you so much for describing that for us. When you think about what you need to do in order to reinvest in the healthcare system, and especially for orthopedics, are there any types of things that you're looking forward to investing in at some point in the future?
Yeah, I think a lot of the investment that we've made thus far, this past year, like I mentioned, was based on staff. And so looking at the market trends for different positions, whether that be bedside nurses or specialty physicians or even other clinical support team members, looking at those changes in structures and how do we engage staff, retain staff, recruit staff to deliver that care. We believe that if we have the most talented staff members that are highly engaged and focus on delivering the best care to our patients, everything else will essentially take care of itself. Quality will follow, and cost reduction and volumes will follow. And so I would say a big focus of ours is investing in our greatest asset, which is our human capital as part of our organization. And so that's where a lot of our focus has been for the past year, and I think will continue to be over this next at least 1 to 2 years to come.
Got it, got it. Well, Matt, if your center is successful, a year from now, what does that look like?
I think it's probably is a multitude of outcomes that we've kind of touched on individually thus far. It's having the best staff, recruiting those providers with expertise and retaining them and having them with high engagement. So, surveying our providers, surveying our clinical support staff team members or non-clinical team members for that matter as well, and having outcomes and results that are highly engaged, that love their job, that want to come to work, that want to stay here as part of our organization and take care of our patients. I think that leads to high levels of productivity, improved efficiencies. Obviously, quality is always a big part of our focus. And so ensuring that we are striving every day to achieve a zero harm level facility, that our complication rates exceed in a good way those of the national benchmarks, and that our patients receive the best care. And I think all that will essentially translate into 100% of patient satisfaction or consumer engagement survey results as well. So I think looking at our staff engagement as well as our patient satisfaction and our quality metrics all being as best possible, that would essentially translate into a very successful facility and organization for the upcoming year.
Got it. And one more question here. When you are connecting with the physicians and staff and surveying them, what are you hearing that they want more of or less of going forward?
I think one very common trend is communication. People just want to know what's going on, and more so than just having it dictated to them, but also understand the why and be a part of the conversation. I think Northern Arizona Healthcare as an organization has done an incredible job of being fully and proactively transparent with its workforce from top to bottom across the spectrum, and having weekly forums that people, it's a Q&A open session where we can talk about all the changes, whether that is COVID related or not, structural changes, strategic planning, initiatives, and where we stand in some of our efforts, and providing that to the staff in a multitude of forums, whether that be direct one-on-one conversations, daily morning huddles at our readiness boards, our daily check-ins, as well as informal and formal monthly communications. And so I think that is one thing that all of our workforce has been appreciative of and continues to want to have available to them.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a really fantastic discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.